description of the Varnashram system, text number 16 up to 18. Samudamastapachucham. Sandusha Kshantirajavam. Mabhaktischa Daya Satyam. Rama Pragyatas Tvimaha. Samudamastapachucham. Sandusha Kshantirajavam. Madhbhakti-scharaya satyam Brahma-pratyas-tvimaha Samuramastapa-shucham Sandushak-shantir-ajavam Madhbhakti-scharaya-satyam Brahma Pratyayas Tvimaha Sama, peacefulness. Dhamma, sense control. Tapa, austerity. Shocham, cleanliness. Santusha, full satisfaction. Kshanti, forgiveness. Ajavam, simplicity and straightforwardness. Mati Bhakti, devotional service unto me. Cha, also. Daya, mercy. Satyam, truth. Brahma, of the Brahmanas. Prakritaya. The natural qualities. Two. Indeed. Imaha. These. Translation. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, cleanliness and satisfaction, torrents, simple straightforwardness, devotion to me, mercy and truthfulness are the natural qualities of the Brahmanas. So, for the next two verses, there's no purpose. We're going to text number 18. Text 17, I'm just going to read. This sounds good. Tejo balam riti shroyam titi kso daryam utyama staryam brahmanyam aishwaryam kshatra prakritayastima. Translation, dynamic power, bodily strength, determination, heroism, tolerance, generosity, great endeavor, steadiness, devotion to the Brahmanas, and leadership are the natural qualities of the Kshatriyas. Text 18. Asikyam dana nishtacha adambo brahma sevanam adustya archo pachaya vaisha prakritayastvima. Translation, faith in Vedic civilization, dedication to charity, freedom from hypocrisy, serves to the Brahmanas and perpetually desiring to accumulate more and more money are the natural qualities of the Vaishyas. Prabhupada, Adustya Achupa Chayai indicates that a Vaishya is never satisfied with any amount of wealth and always wants to accumulate more. On the other hand, he is Dana Nishta, or dedicated to charitable work. Brahma Sevi, always engaged in assisting the Brahmanas, and Adamba, free from hypocrisy. This is due to astikyam, or complete faith in the Vedic way of life, and confidence that one will be rewarded or punished in the next life or one's present activities. The fervent desire of the Vaishyas to accumulate wealth is not the same as ordinary material greed, because it is purified and tempered by the superior qualities mentioned in this verse. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're talking about the Varnashram system in this chapter. And it was just speaking about the Vaishyas and how their attempts in making money is for a higher cause, because they're using their nature and employ them in the service of the Lord, which is basically to follow the Varnashram system. At one stage, like, you know, often people ask us if we're Hindus. And a lot of devotees don't really quite know the answer, because what actually are we? You know, we are not Hindus, we are not this, not that. So Srila Prabhupada was actually saying that we are followers of Varnashram Dharma. So we are following the system of four material divisions, which is the Varna, and the spiritual divisions, the Ashram. And this is established through the Vedas. And in this way, we're getting elevated. So there's, according, like, it's very, very similar to this description here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the nature of the different Varnas. It's a description in the Bhagavad Gita, actually throughout the Bhagavad Gita. And it starts in the 14th chapter, Chaturvanyam Mayashrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasa Tasya Kataram Apimam Vidyakar Taram Apyayam. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I'm the creator of the system, you should know that I'm yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. So Krishna says here very clearly that the Varnashram system is created by him. So he's giving us that way to elevate ourselves. It's not that we're just going to do what we want to do and we're just going to do it according to we feel how we want to do it. These days people always talk about, you know, feeling to do something in a certain way. And I said, they think it's actually a very spiritual guidance when they feel to do something. And I think they're very in tune with themselves. They actually get a lot of pride out of that. Oh, I'm not feeling like that. My heart is not telling me to do that. But it's not even the heart, it's just the mind, which is totally uncontrolled, and the senses, which are just so full of desires that they can't see clearly what actually their interest is. So usually when people say they're going to follow their heart or like what they need to do, it basically ends up in degrading activities, because if we all know if we let our senses go loose, they're certainly not going to do anything which is very helpful for our elevation. But usually they go to intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating, and all sorts of gambling. So this is our natural inclination, and this is where the senses will lead us to. But the Varnashram system is set up to curb these tendencies. And Krishna has created it, therefore, that we can employ our tendency in his service. And also he says in this verse, he is the non-doer, unchangeable. He's not affected by it, as so many philosophers say that, you know, the Lord comes as himself Maya. You know, the impersonalists, they say Krishna is himself Maya because he creates material energy and becomes subject to it. But Krishna is not. He's unchangeable. He's setting it up for us. He's totally unaffected by any mode of nature. So this Varnashram system is set up for our benefit because we have qualities. We are born with qualities, and these are because we are born in the with specific combination of the three modes of material nature. So this is basically how the Varnas are created, because we are either to some extent the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. So according to that, we will be attracted to a certain kind of work. Our mind will be attracted to perform certain activities. And therefore, Krishna says, this is how you act. These days, as you all know, everyone has met people who claim to be brahmanas. Bernadette was telling me a little while ago that she was unloading the CrossFit van, and she was asking this Indian gentleman who was just passing by if he could just, like, I think he was waiting for lunch or something like that, if he could just quickly grab a bucket and carry it up the stairs. And he said, "Oh, sorry, I'm a Brahmana. You know, this is work for people without caste." And like I heard from a couple of senior devotees that sometimes they visit devotees' houses and they claim to be from the higher caste. So the higher caste, they're not cleaning according to the degradation of the caste system. So what happens is they don't have the position anymore that they have servants to clean, so they're just going to live in filthy houses. So it's very all muddled up and not quite clear anymore. And so Guna, like, the Vanashram system is not according to birth. Because, you know, if you meet somebody and he says he's the son of a dentist and he wants to give you a root canal filling, I don't think anybody would agree to that. It's ridiculous. Like, everyone would understand that. It's not by birth. It's by guna and karma. It means activities, qualities and work. So you have certain qualities, this is, and then you work according to them. Srila Prabhupada said in the purport I read, he said, if you're a cobbler, you're not a Brahmana. So you can't just pull out your filthy Brahmin thread and say, I'm a Brahmana. Like, also my spiritual master was saying, there were one time in India, and the rickshaw driver was, like, I think misdirecting them. He was going in all kind of side streets and stuff like that, and the devotees got on his case to, you know, behave himself and just do his service. And he pulled out this more black than any other color looking Brahmin thread and says, I'm a Brahmana. How can you dare to insult me? So Krishna explains it very differently, and we can understand, like, because a lot of people have these days strong impressions, like, we come often across people in our preaching and they hear that we follow, like, that we have some kind of a caste system here, or like the Vanashram system, and they get very confused. And they, because they hear so many terrible things about the Vanashram system, but all they hear is the abuse of it. They don't actually understand what it's originally meant for. So we have to often explain to them what actually this caste system means and what it entails. And we can explain to them that everyone has natural qualities, and these ones are employed, and Krishna tells us how to employ them to gradually rise above them. So every one of us naturally falls into this caste system, and it's in our state it is very difficult to act outside of it, because we are conditioned by the modes of nature. Our very mind is set up by the particular combination of the modes. This is how we think, this is how we feel, this is how we act, this is us, basically. In our conditioned state, the modes, in their combination, this is actually us. They constitute our mind and our intelligence, and unless you're on the transcendental platform, we can't act beyond our mind and intelligence and emotions and so on. It's not possible. So because of that, the nature we have acquired is very, very, very strong. And Krishna says, Devi Isha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dratya Mayavi Prapatyanti Mayami Tamperanti. He says that the divine energy in this regard refers to the material energy. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that it's called divine because he himself created it. So it comes from the divine power, from the Lord. And he says, we cannot cross beyond it unless we surrender unto the Lord. We can't overcome it. If we are bound, we can't unbind us, not by any attempt. So these natures, we have them, and we have to employ them until we become enough purified to actually cross beyond our material and conditioning. And that is only possible if we transcend it. And that's like the whole, basically, conversation about Bhagavad Gita was spoken because Arjuna thought he came cross beyond it. And Krishna says, you're a fool. You cannot do it. You're talking learned words, but you're acting like an idiot, basically. you know, you lament, and it's all because of your impurities and you, because of using things in a deluded mind. You don't want to do your duty. You don't want to act according to Vajrasham Dham. You don't want to follow my instructions. You're totally misguided if you want to act like that. Because here, for example, it says in 1859, this is the quote from it: "If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. And the illusion you are now declining to act according to my direction, but compelled by the work born of your nature, you will act all the same as Son of Kunti." So Krishna explains here, because the modes of nature are there, and they condition, like, well, Arjuna is a special case, you know, what to speak of us. Well, we talk about him now as if he's conditioned because he's put in illusion by Krishna. So he's gonna try to decline to act according to the nature he has acquired by the modes. And Krishna says, you can't do it. If you don't act according to what I tell you to do, if you don't act according to my system, you're gonna go off and do the same thing anyway. But then you act against my, like, then you don't act against, according to my principles. So here is basically the decision we have to make. You know, we have a nature and we have to employ this nature. So are we employing it according to Krishna's direction, or are we employing it according to our own concoction? One is going to be elevating for us, the other one is going to be degrading for us. We have the choice. We're going to act anyway, in the same way. So the modes are usually, as we can see here in the verses, that we can read peacefulness, self-control, austerity, cleanliness, satisfaction, tolerance, simple straightforwardness, devotion to me, mercy and truthfulness are the natural qualities of the Brahmanas. So we can see these ones are qualities in the mode of goodness. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, all these are qualities in the mode of goodness. And we can also, if you look in our lifestyle, we can also see we do follow these things because we have to elevate ourselves in the, at least in the mode of goodness, to approach the Shuddha-sattva, to approach the pure mode of goodness. And look at our four regulated principles. We just said yesterday in initiation ceremony, what kind of principles did they vow for? No intoxication. It is satisfaction and tolerance. Then we have truthfulness, that is no gambling. We have cleanliness, no illicit sex. And peacefulness and mercy, this is no eating of meat. So these, we're vowing for these principles because we have to. We are supposedly here to elevate ourselves. So Krishna tells us, these are the qualities you have to acquire to come to the mode of goodness. So when we go on, faith in the Vedic civilization, dedication to charity, freedom from hypocrisy, service to the Brahmanas, and properly desiring, dynamic power, bodily strength, determination, heroism, tolerance, generosity, great endeavor, steadiness, devotion to the Brahmana, leadership are the natural qualities of the Kshatriyas. So you can see, we are ruled by people who are not really Kshatriyas these days, because I don't think you can really find, well, you might find bodily strength in them because they go to the gym or something like that, but the rest you can't find in them. But these are the qualities of the Kshatriyas, and they enable themselves to rule the citizens in a very good way. And these are the qualities in the mode of passion. Like, not a mode of passion as we understand it these days. No, mode of passion is just to let your senses slash on anything which is available. And then we have faith in the Vedic civilization, dedication to charity, freedom from hypocrisy, service to the Brahmanas, and properly desiring to accumulate more and more, more and more money are the natural qualities of the Vaishyas. So these are, the Vaishyas are considered to be in the mode of passion and ignorance. And tomorrow there's going to be a verse about the Shudras, who are supposedly in the mode of ignorance. But even that, like the Shudra serves without duplicity to the Brahmanas, cows, demigods, and other worshipable personalities. Complete satisfaction with whatever income is obtained in such service are the natural qualities of the Shudras. So, you know, sometimes we think of Shudras very little. Like, you know, everyone wants to be a Brahmana. But, like, how elevated are even the Shudra qualities? You know? Service without duplicity to the higher castes. Complete satisfaction and whatever income is obtained. Can you see that in anybody these days? So much greed. People want more and more and more. So these are the qualities of the different castes, and they're already considered into like more or less the lower modes. But these ones are very elevated qualities. We actually sometimes have to often look up to the qualities of the Shudras. You know, it's just complete like service without duplicity. Yeah. I wish sometimes I could serve my spiritual master without duplicity. So these are the modes according to which the different castes are acting. And if they act according to the prescription of their specific caste, they will greatly elevate themselves. So the Shudras will elevate themselves by working in that sense, by serving the higher authorities, because they're getting good guidance, they look after their material needs, and they get benefit from the service. So it's just another quote about how it is dangerous to repress all nature. This is 333. Sarisham shishtaste svasya prakriti gyanavam api prakriti miyanti bhutani nigraham kim karshati. Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature. For everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? So unless one is situated on the transcendental platform of Krishna consciousness, he cannot get free from the influence of the modes of material nature. And as we just heard, we might try to react beyond it, but it's going to catch up with it. And actually, there's even higher guidance to these activities, because where do we get our nature from? Does it just fall from the sky and suddenly we are like that? It's a super soul in the heart which actually directs us in a certain way and reminds us to act according to our past. So you have Ishvara Sarvabhutana Maritishu Jinatistati Brahmanyam Sarvabhutani Yantya Rudrani Mayaya, 1861 in Bhagavad Gita. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as in a machine made of the material energy. So we don't know how to act when we are born. It's not that way. I'm Kshatriya, that means I'm in the mode of passion, and I gotta have body, I gotta have charism, body strength, determination, tolerance, generosity. No, it's a super soul which is reminding us according to our previous activities. So Arjuna, Krishna basically tells Arjuna in the part of the Bhagavad Gita in the beginning, lesson in the beginning, that he's not the supreme knower. He says, you actually don't know how to act. He says, your decision to fight is really made by your limited discretion. And it's rather the super soul which dictates you how to act. It's rather the super soul in your heart which is directing you, and you got to follow that direction. So after passing to another body, usually all our memory is still deleted. But the super soul in the heart is the witness of our activities. And therefore, according to Srila Prabhupada, all our activities are ultimately directed by the Supreme Lord in the heart. So once we acquire a new material body, we got to work under the spell of this particular bodily situation. And we have to follow Krishna's dictation in that way. So, you know, we might have you know, a very good destination. We might have, like, you know, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a fast motor car, or we might just have an old bicycle. But we're going to use it in a certain way according to Krishna's order. And in this sense, we are not independent. And this independence is very clearly, and this dependence on the Supreme Lord is very clearly made by Krishna. And he concludes that the duty is therefore because our activities, our nature, our past, they're not anymore really under control. Now we just have the situation and the Super Soul is directing us and reminding us how we've acted and what we deserved and how to elevate ourselves. And therefore it is the duty of the living entities to surrender unto the supreme will of the Lord and acting to according to his direction. So we have to understand that and not try to make our own plans for activities, but rather follow our vana in which we are born and which we are conditioned by. And we can see that, for example, how the spiritual master is engaging us. He's acting very clearly with our inclinations in this life. And an interesting thing is to always look back and how conversations in the scriptures actually happened. For example, we can see this whole conversation until now about, you know, Krishna telling Arjuna to elevate himself, that he's going to act in the same way anyway, that, you know, the Super Soul is directing his wanderings. Before that came to happen, Krishna was telling in 1845, for following his qualities of work, everyone can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done. So this whole instructions how to act according to one's duty came by Krishna telling Arjuna, this is the way you become perfect. And after this conversation, after this point where Krishna says, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Rijishu Junasishtadi, after acting according to Super Soul, he speaks about attaining the Supreme Brahman. And he comes to pure devotional service. And then he says, alright, I've told you the whole story and now you decide. You can decide to disobey my orders, you can decide to disobey the Super Soul in the heart, or you can listen to it. This is the way you become perfect, I told you before. But you decide. It's up to you. So, obviously, you know, we might have this inclination, but in this day and age, we don't really have an idea who we are. No, people don't even know anymore if they're women or men. You know, you see people who are like, you know, they don't even know their sex anymore. They don't know what's good for them. They don't know how, you know, people get sick and they wonder how they get sick, but all they ate is junk food. Like, they have no idea anymore what's going even on in their own body or the most basic things. They don't know how to even keep the body clean. Yes, it's embarrassing. Like, for Indians, it might be a bit different, but when Westerners come to Krishna consciousness, they don't even know how to keep the body clean. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, and then we can think like, oh, you know, like, and often then you have devotees who say, oh, you know, this is my nature, and I got to act accordingly to it. But in this conditioned state, so deeply conditioned, we can't really figure it out. So therefore, we need external guidance. We're not in tune enough with Ima or nature, so therefore we have somebody to tell us what to do, to tell us how to act, to tell us how to employ ourselves. And I can say for myself, I was doing a specific service, and suddenly I was put in another service, and I suddenly thought, wow, this is actually feels quite easy, and that's actually kind of how I like to do. And I didn't ever even know for like 25 years, I hadn't had a clue that might be my nature. This was a big surprise. Suddenly things happen in your life and you think, wow, that is actually kind of feels right for me. So the spiritual master is the guidance we need, because the spiritual master is the external manifestation of the super soul. So he understands who we are and what we have to do, how to purify ourselves and how to elevate ourselves. And as we can't decline the dictation of the super soul, so we can't decline the instructions of the external manifestation of the super soul. You gotta act according to it. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, the devotees yesterday were making vows. They're becoming serious about, you know, this is what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life, and I'm not gonna be swayed by my mind and senses. It's a commitment. You know. And it's unimaginable for a lot of people. Like, when you preach sometimes to people and you know, like, they ask you, oh, if I would become a Hare Krishna, what do I have to do? And you tell them, oh, well, just a few details. And you tell them and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't do that. And I don't know, I think it's like a fashion amongst devotees to tell, the first thing they tell someone they meet on the street is to tell you, we're getting up at 4 o'clock. And actually, like, if you, like, I think devotees get some kind of a pride out of it, you know? It's like, you know, yeah, I'm getting up at 4 o'clock. Sometimes even earlier. But if you notice, people are not very impressed by it. They're rather turned off. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to get it. They think straight away, because everyone in the heart of hearts, they think, can I be a Hare Krishna? They might not say it, but everyone who meets us, start asking, and they basically try to figure out, can I be a Hare Krishna? So you tell them, well, we're getting up at 4 o'clock, we don't have illicit sex, we don't have meeting, we don't have intoxication, we don't do gambling, we sit down for 2 hours and chant the same 3 words, and they're like, what? You know, so it's like, Srila Prabhupada, he was very slowly revealing all these things. Like, some devotees that didn't even know what to do until they got initiated, and suddenly, oh, okay. When I met the devotees and I was already living in the ashram and I still didn't know the 4 regulative principles, nobody had told me at that until that time. So yeah, the devotees were making yesterday serious vows for their life. And these vows are because they keep us safe. They keep us safe that we don't degrade ourselves, that we don't get totally caught up in the material concept of life, and that we're not going down, but that we have that platform on which we can approach higher realms. They keep our mind clean, they keep our body clean, and therefore we can finally, when we do our chanting nicely, think of the Supreme Lord and worship the Supreme Lord from the heart of hearts without, you know, without this dirt in our heart. Yeah, and if we are serious about our spiritual life, we're going to stick to it. Like, I know from my spiritual master, he doesn't tolerate any nonsense, because he actually is serious about getting his disciples back to the spiritual world. And I was listening the other day to Radhanath Maharaj's lecture, and he was telling about all these yogis and all these swamis and gurujis and babajis and maharajis and whoever else is coming, and they were all like, I mean, who is strict? When I was still living in Germany, I was staying with a friend of mine, and she had a guru. And she got initiated by this guru. And all she got was a newsletter every 3 months from her guru. But there was nothing, what's the point? Srila Prabhupada said, who wants to be cheated, he's gonna be cheated. So there were so many gurus around, but who's actually strict? Who actually is interested in bringing their disciples back to the spiritual world, back to the Supreme Lord? They don't do what is required for it. What's the point? Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the West, he could have had millions of disciples. How attractive for Srila Prabhupada. But he didn't compromise on his teachings, because he had the supreme goal in his mind. He didn't want wealth, beautiful women, followers, material happiness. He didn't want all these things. His interest was to bring the conditioned soul back to the spiritual world. And therefore he gave them instructions by which they come back to the spiritual world in accordance with the super soul. So he was directing us from the very basic, you know, how to be clean, how to be tolerant, how to follow our nature. He was employing that nature in the service of the Lord according to the system of the Lord, and was demanding more and more after a while. Like we also see for ourselves, our spiritual master will demand more and more. And first when we come and our mind is all messed up and we're all over the show, he will probably just treat us like a little child. Because, you know, we can't really take anymore. And later on, he will become more demanding, he will become more firm. And our relationship will become more and more sweet with our spiritual master. It will become more and more relishable because the intimacy is worth following the instructions, and he kind of demanding more from us and being more satisfied with our service. That will all come, and our relationship will become more and more satisfying. Because we're getting slowly off the mental platform and become actually useful in the service. Instead of him, you know, changing our nappies and putting a dummy in our mouth, we're actually going to support him in his mission. So Srila Prabhupada did an amazing work, and that's why this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is still existing. A very senior friend from mine, he was going to India, he was talking to one of the local kind of swamis in Vrindavan, and this person was saying, I have so much respect for Srila Prabhupada. He was saying, so much respect. So many leaders were here in India. So many had big, big monasteries, had big, big ashrams, and many, many disciples. But after they disappeared, everything fell apart. He said, your guru is the only one. After his disappearance, everything is still growing and growing and growing. What power he had. So this is the accomplishment of Srila Prabhupada, because he did not compromise on Krishna's teachings. He did not compromise on what Krishna tells us to go back to the spiritual world, back to the Lord. And therefore we have such amazing leaders now in our society. With such purity, with such determination, with such heroism basically. And they push on Srila Prabhupada's mission in complete love and dedication to their spiritual master. So if you follow very nicely our guru, if we follow the dictates of the external manifestation of the super soul, then we'll be able to support our guru and the previous acharyas, and that's in that way our guru is now serving their spiritual master. That's all I want to say. Is there any comments or questions? We have a couple of minutes. No one? Okay, Srila Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.